This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
You're joining us from the Pontifical North American College. I'm sure it's a big day there as well.
Oh, it is such a big celebration here, John. And not only is it a special day, but it is also the feast of the college. It's the patronal feast. So actually, there's such an interesting history of the Pontifical North American College, John. It was actually initially proposed back in 1854, which is, of course, the same year that Pope Pius IX solemnly declared the Immaculate Conception. And so then 5 years after that, after the promulgation of the dogma, the Pontifical North American College was officially opened, of course, under the patroness of Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And so since that time, of course, it has been a place where priests from the United States can come to be formed for service of the church in the U.S. And so it's such a wonderful place to be. There's 140 men here, John, who are currently living here and then studying at the various pontifical universities throughout the city of Rome. And today was such a lovely celebration. There was a beautiful mass, absolutely gorgeous singing from the choir, which of course had to start with the entrance procession, little hymn of Immaculate Mary. And then His Eminence Cardinal O'Brien celebrated the mass, reminding everyone, of course, that of how Our Lady's prayers have carried her priests over the years. And then began the celebration. There's a wonderful lunch that happens. And then there's also a tradition of three toasts, John, that happened here today. So every year, one toast is given by one of the faculty members to the Holy Father. Then one of the priests will give a toast to America. And then the third toast will be given to the Pontifical North American College here. And it's a moment that we all look forward to celebrate together. And then all of it will end today, John, with the singing of the Salve Regina, and especially invoking Our Lady's intercession on this special day, John.
Sounds like a beautiful day of celebrations, and so fitting. Yes. Because the Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States. And so with so many American yes. priests and seminarians getting ready there at the Pontifical North American College, it's only fitting.
Exactly. And the beautiful chapel here where they celebrate the daily masses, where they have the liturgy of the hours each day, that is also dedicated to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And there's a gorgeous mosaic of Our Lady there. So that was what we were able to meditate on this morning throughout the Holy Mass. So a beautiful day started off in a beautiful way, John.
Let's talk about Pope Francis. He did not have an audience like he normally does. But what was his message today during his Angelus on this feast, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception?
Yes, exactly. So there are certain days throughout the year when the Holy Father delivers the Angelus message. And this is one of those special days. So even if it is not a Sunday, he will still go to the St. Peter's Square, stand there at the window of the Apostolic Palace and pray with the tens of thousands of people who've gathered down below. So that is what happened today. And today on that feast, he especially focused on the importance of humility, that we should all look to Mary's humility. And when we do, we will, in his words, attract God's eye. He said that we were reminded in the liturgy today that, of course, brings us right into the house of Nazareth, imagining what her experience would have been when she received the message from the angel. And Pope Francis said that gospel really is showing us the beauty of Our Lady's heart. Of course, reminding us that she who is full of grace, that she is without sin, is immaculate, and that Mary, even though that's the case, she's still troubled at the angel's greeting. But she, of course, comes to understand that she has been asked and should not be, and does not exalt herself, but instead, even though she's It feels like the angel's greeting is very grand and maybe even too grand for her, he says. But he says that that humility that she shared is what really attracted God's eye. And so that is something that we should all strive for. He said to live humbly and to live joyfully. And that is something that Our Lady certainly models for us. So he asks all the faithful not to lose heart, to remember that no one who has ever asked for the help of Our Lady has ever been abandoned. John,
I can imagine the crowd must have been quite enthusiastic on this day outside St. Peter's Basilica there in the piazza.
Well, John, today is actually an official holiday here in Italy, which is such a wonderful thing that we have a holiday, a feast day to celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so that means that schools are closed, businesses are closed, stores are closed, and everybody is meant to be celebrating this day and enjoying the time with their family as well. And of course, as you know, because we've talked about it so many times, John, the Italians certainly know how to celebrate. So this is a day where they will be doing just that, and many Italians are taking advantage of this day off to take vacations with their families as well. And so many have come into Rome just to celebrate this special feast, John.
Is the pandemic affecting any of these festivities here on this solemnity?
You know, right now we have a very, very low death rate, 99 in the entire country of Italy yesterday. So in that sense, there is not, people do not seem to be deterred. On the other hand, there are very strict restrictions still, which do in some ways tend to put a damper on celebrations these days.
What kind of celebrations are going on in Rome today for this Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception?
Well, first of all, this day kicks off Christmas season here. So this is the day when we will see stores, family homes and stores turn on their Christmas lights. And in fact, another major thing that will happen here in the city of Rome is that they will actually light the Christmas tree, the official Rome Christmas tree. It's a lighting ceremony that is done by the mayor every year. And the Christmas tree is right in the heart of Rome in Piazza Venezia. And our new mayor of Rome will actually unveil the Christmas tree, which is in Piazza, right in the heart of the city of Rome, right in front of the monuments to King Victor Emmanuel II. And I have to say that a lot of people know that piazza better because there's a nickname for that monument, which is the wedding cake. So when I say that, then many may be able to visualize exactly where that beautiful Christmas tree is. And after the tree is lit, then the lights of the Via del Corso will go on as well. And that is the main shopping street of Rome. So it's with this that the Christmas season will officially kick off and all of the excitement and festivities will begin here, John.
And the Vatican Christmas tree is also being lit and the nativity scene ready to go here on this day.
It's ready to go, exactly. So this is actually the 40th Christmas tree in St. Peter's Square. The tradition goes all the way back to 1982, started by Pope St. John Paul II. And this year's tree, it's 98 feet. It comes from northern Italy, from the Trentino region. And it's a beautiful red fir that comes from the Andolo Forest, which is right there on the Italian border with Austria. So this tree this year has been decorated with lovely handmade wooden Christmas decorations that were made by artisans of that same region. So in just 2 days, on the 10th, that tree will be lit with a wonderful lighting ceremony right there in St. Peter's Square. And Archbishop Agazaga, who's the president of the Governatorato of the Vatican City, will be presiding. It's just a festive and fun experience. There's a band, there's different talks. It's just a really lovely evening. And also, as is tradition, on the 10th will be unveiled not only the tree, but also the nativity scene, the crib, which this year is coming from Peru's Chapka Nation in the Andean Mountains. And this is meant to be a tribute to the ancient Andean indigenous people and culture. And there's over 30 figurines that have been created by 5 different artists. So the tree, the nativity scene, they will remain there until the 9th of January for pilgrims to experience. So once that is unveiled and I get to actually see that nativity scene with my own eyes, I look forward to sharing that with you, John, then too.
What about the decorations inside of St. Peter's Basilica? I just can't even begin to imagine how breathtaking it's going to look.
Right. So in St. Peter's Basilica, the one thing that happens is they place a nativity scene there at one of the altars. This year, it's actually not at the usual altar, which used to be at the baptismal font area of the basilica. It's in a different place this year. So it's another opportunity for pilgrims to come and really spend time in quiet meditation inside of the church, focusing, of course, on that moment of the birth of Christ when he was born into the busy world at that perfect moment in time to come to save us from our sins. So yes, it's also a wonderful place to visit during these days, John.
Ashley, I want to circle back to the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who made a special tribute today, visiting the statue of the Immaculate Conception there in Roma, a statue that Father Rocky talked about yesterday, because there's an exact duplicate of it at Mundelein Seminary here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Oh, wonderful. Well, yes, that statue actually stands on top of a very tall column here right next to the Spanish Steps. And traditionally, the Pope goes every year on this day and offers a bouquet to Our Lady. Now, for the last couple of years, sadly, that event has been canceled. But this morning at 6:15 a.m., so it was still dark here in Rome, and before it started raining, because we've had a lot of rain lately, Pope Francis went and he visited there to that piazza and prayed in
the
front
piazza
of that column.
The Piazza di Spagna. The Spagna.
Bravo,
I remember
Spagna.
The train Spagna. Stop.
Exactly. Well, see, you'll know exactly how to get there next year. That's perfect. Yeah. So, yes, that's exactly where he went. And he turned to Our Lady in prayer. The Vatican said that he was especially asking for her intercession for the sick in the world and for the healing of people suffering from war. He also prayed for the conversion of many to melt the hearts of stone of the sinful. He spent about 5 minutes there in prayer, John, and then he went to the Church of St. Mary Major, to that icon of Our Lady Health of the People of Rome, which is the same place where he visited on the 6th when he returned from Cyprus to spend some time in prayer there. So he returned to the Vatican this morning shortly before 7 a.m. and was able to make that special prayerful tribute to Our Lady on this special day.
I love it. It's a beautiful tribute and a beautiful faith of our Holy Father that he has, that love and devotion to our Blessed Mother. Ashley, tell us about the extremely cold weather that has hit Italy this past week. Is that affecting Rome, and is it affecting this feast day?
John, it is. In fact, it's really coming to a culmination today. They're calling it the Immaculate Storm, because it's supposed to hit really hard today. So there are cold air masses that have been coming down from icy northern Europe, and then it's bringing snow, especially in the north of Italy. And then these intense southerly cold winds have been flowing over what are otherwise more mild areas like Sardinia and Tuscany and Lazio, where we are. So this is, it's a cyclonic vortex, actually, that's being fed by the cold air, and it's coming in through the Alps. It's bringing with it snow and driving rain. So not our favorite gift here on the feast of the Immacolata, the Immaculate Storm coming our way. But nevertheless, we are bundling up and battening down the hatches.
The Feast of St. Nicholas was celebrated in a special way, as it always is, in Bari. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about those celebrations.
You know, John, St. Nicholas is the patron of Bari, and so you can imagine that the celebrations there are grand and wonderful. This year, instead of the usual procession through the streets of Bari, they decided to do a St. Nicola Mobile. So think Pope Mobile, but instead with St. Nicholas. And so sure enough, they managed to process the statue throughout those interesting ancient streets of Bari. It was followed by hot chocolate for the viewers. There was a nighttime torchlight procession, then fireworks. And of course, on his feast day itself, were multiple masses throughout the day. So Saint Nicholas is so important to not only the people of Bari, but of course the people of all Italy. And he is also, of course, such an important patron of the Orthodox Church. On the 19th of December, there's going to be a special Orthodox liturgy showing there at the burial place of Saint Nicholas, but especially showing the devotion of this saint who has always had the gift of uniting the East and the West, John.
Yeah, that reminds me. We never really talked too much about the trip to Cyprus and Greece, but one of the things that really sticks out from that trip was the Holy Father's prayer for unity between the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholics. I was very moved by seeing those images of the Holy Father with the Patriarch in front of the image of our Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm. That was a moving image from that 35th apostolic visit abroad, that six-day trip that he made to Cyprus and Greece. Of course, the finale was a meeting with young people, and from there he set off back to Rome. And since that time, of course, he has been talking especially about entrusting the people of Cyprus and Greece to Our Lady, mentioning that he was moved by the many encounters and faces and stories that he heard there and has entrusted them, passed those right on to the care of Our Lady, John.
And finally, what's going on with the olive farmers in Italy that have been fighting tree diseases?
Yeah, well, you know, John, this is something that we have been talking about and following for quite a few years, really since 2013, when sadly this terrible pathogen started to devastate olive trees in Puglia, Italy. And these poor olive farmers have been absolutely helpless. Well, there's good news this Christmas season because they've actually managed to train detection dogs. So these dogs are capable of sniffing out the pathogen in the early stages, even before any symptoms appear on the trees. So this is really exciting. They're saying it could be vital in the battle against this pathogen. And they're hoping that this is going to help save the precious olive harvest of Puglia, Italy, so that we can all keep enjoying delicious olive oil coming from over here in Bella Italia.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.